Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, we're in the New Testament, in the book of John. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Let's get into our Bible study this morning. We are in John's Gospel. Man, what a great place to be this morning. As always, it's, you know, I say that every time we open up to anywhere. You know, tonight I'll say the same thing. We're in Hosea tonight, and, you know, we're picking up in chapter 4 of Hosea, and I'll say the same thing. Gosh, what a great place to be in Scripture. I really do think that, though. Anywhere we open up, it's a great place to be in Scripture. You find Jesus on every page. You can find Jesus on every page. All these things that represent the Lord, the heart of the Lord. I mean, it's just great. Every time we open our Bibles, the Word of God ministers and speaks to our hearts and gives us help and encouragement and blesses us and feeds that spiritual man. And we learn that Jesus is the Word, the living Word. And so that direct relationship, as John kind of made that connection, that He is God, He is the Word, He is everlasting, He is the, and you go through Revelation, He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is eternal. And this was that quality that many were attracted to when they saw Jesus, when He physically walked the earth. And they would be drawn to Him, and they would come to Him and question and say things to Him. Well, and they'd ask, you know, what must I do to have age-abiding life? That's what it said when they said, what must I do to have everlasting life? That word was really age-abiding life. And there's this quality about the person of Jesus that people are just drawn to. And we see this as it'll continue to unfold as we go through this today. As we find in verse 19, chapter 1 of John's Gospel is where we're picking it up. Now, you remember, John here, as we start talking, John is writing about John the Baptist. And so, as he's writing about John the Baptist, this is Jesus' cousin, and obviously they knew each other, they hung out together and stuff. But it's interesting as we go through, we'll pick up on a couple of things that are noteworthy about his relationship as we get a little bit further in it this morning. But in verse 19, chapter 1, John's Gospel, now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" So this inquiry goes out, "Who are you, John the Baptist? Who are you? We know you're out there doing stuff." Think about this. People may come to you. People may come to me and they, "Well, who are you? What are you doing?" I remember when we first moved to Southwest Missouri, I had someone question me. Similar kind of inquiry, like, "Why have you come here? Why are you here? What are you doing?" You know, this kind of a thing. And we will, all of us will get those inquiries when they find out that you're living a little bit different life. Your life's a little different. And there's this, "Who are you?" And these people that were sent to make inquiry are members of the Sanhedrin. And so when we see in John's Gospel, when you go through this and you see it says the Jews, in John's Gospel, his reference is, these are members of the Sanhedrin, which is kind of like the Jewish Supreme Court. You know, so and whenever he mentions the Jews like that, that's what he's talking about in John's Gospel. Not throughout the whole Bible, but in John's Gospel. That's his reference. He's referring to them. And so he's this religious leaders, this members of the Sanhedrin, this Jewish Supreme Court, they kind of come, these members of this group come and say, "Who are you?" And John says in verse 20, he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they ask him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" Now just stop for just a second. Just hold the phone for just 1 minute. Think with me. What is it that is being said here as they're making this inquiry? John, it is a marvelous a wonderful thing to note that he is not in crisis. He's not in a crisis state of being, trying to, gosh, you know, he's trying to figure out, well, who am I, you know? You're going to run into people. We may find ourselves in that state from time to time. We ought to guard our hearts. We ought to settle this issue today. But that thought of, who am I? This thing comes up over and over again. Young people are trying to work through that because they're trying to find their career path. So who am I? I know people that are a lot older than me that are still trying to find their career path. Your identity as an individual is not the sum of where you went to college or what you become as far as a career goes. The sum of your identity is found similar to John. And I love that because people get so hung up on this. It's trash. Waste your time not further on that thinking because your identity is not in what you do for a living. That's a career path. That's a great thing. High five. Good for you. I'm with you. But the reality is that's not what it's all about. Not as a Christian. John did not flip out. He didn't spin a bearing. Oh gosh, I'm not sure these guys are, why are they asking me these questions? Who are they? Why are they bugging me? He didn't go into some freak out mode. Look at what he says. He's one, he's clear. He's not the prophet. He's not the Christ. He's clear on a few things. He knows who he's not. But you may say, well, I know what I'm not. I'm not the president of the United States. I'm not, you may know what you're not. But what's even better, he knows who he is. He knows who he is. And you know, you and I can know who we are in the Lord. Let's look at this real quick. He said in his response, well, what do you say about yourself? And he said, I am, this is who I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now, one really great thing is that, and note this, it's important, he backs up his identification as an individual. He backs it up with the word of God. That's a good thing. And I don't care how old you are, that's a good thing. Back up your identification with the living word, with the word of God. He says, man, I am the voice. And you know, that idea, just being the voice, you and I just being a voice. Do you realize as a Christian, that is your identity? So if you're struggling with any kind of an identity issue today, maybe we can solve that, you know? Maybe the word of God will solve that for you today. And you can realize that you are a voice for the Lord. That's what God's called us to be, a voice, every one of us, to just represent the Lord. And not only that, but there was preparation. In being a voice, there was also preparation. He's making straight the way of the Lord. He's making a proclamation to others, to those around him. He's pointing them to something. And he's clear on that. He's not confused about who he is or what he was supposed to do. I think that's great. He's not confused about who he is, and therefore he's not confused about what he's supposed to do. You see, you and I can be in that same frame of mind every day when we wake up. We can be in that, so we can jump right into the same spot. Just say, man, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Good morning, Lord, Master. What are you going to bring today? What's going to go on? And he may say, I don't know. Well, what is exactly going to happen? What are you? Because certain things, he's wanting to move, but he's got to move in and through you to move. He's going to do whatever he wants in all kinds of other people's lives. But with you, if you're making an inquiry about you, if you sit on it like a bump on a pickle and do nothing, well, I guess that's what you and the Lord are going to do that day. But if you get out in the way of things, you get in the mix and let God steer your life. Have you ever, you know, really, it's really difficult trying to steer a parked car. While things are in motion, they steer a lot better, right? It's just a fact. And so for us, too, that same truth is there. Real quick notice on John chapter 10, I believe verse 40. I have problems with some of these things sometimes, but we'll check. I believe verse 40. And he went, speaking of Jesus, away beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first. And there he stayed. Then many came to him and said, John performed no sign, but all things that John spoke about this man are true. And many believed in him there. I think that's kind of a cool reference to the fact that he was a voice. In John 10, verse 40 through 42, tells us really that John was a voice, and having a voice left an impact on the world around him. You and I, having a voice, can leave an impact in the world that you influence, the sphere of influence that you have. You know, he didn't perform a bunch of radical signs necessarily, but man, the Lord used him in a mighty powerful way as he was a voice. Good note. That was the thought behind this. In verse 24 of John 1, now those who were sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him saying, why then do you baptize if you are not Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? And John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. There's one in the mix here that you're not recognizing. You're not seeing him for who he is. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. And so again, this idea here of John understands his role. He understands that his life is about something else. It's not about him. It's not about his convenience. It's not just about what he wants to do. His life is about something else and someone else. And he is pointing to that person. And he's just saying, hey, you guys don't even, you know, he's right here in our midst and you don't even see who he is. You're not going to even recognize him. And then the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him. So there's this crowd gathered, and they're being baptizing, and Jesus starts to come toward him, and he said, behold. And he sees and recognizes who Jesus is. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And this is Jesus' title. This is who he is. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Clearly identifies and sees who it is. But Jesus is going to be baptized that he might identify with you and with me as he is baptized in the water. You know, he came fully God and fully man, and he stood in line just like everybody else. And he waited to be baptized. And as he gets baptized, there's this identification with you and with me. You know, in the priests, you remember when we went through Leviticus, in the priests, there were three baptisms, really, in a sense. There was the washing of the water, the ritualistically that the priest did, remember? He'd wash in the laver and stuff, he'd wash in the water. Then there was the oil, remember the priest, the oil was dumped on the priest, you remember that in Leviticus? And then there was also the blood, as the sacrifice, the blood, they were kind of, you know, touched, and this had an impact on what they were doing. Well, the same thing is true with Jesus. Jesus is there being baptized in the water. And now we see in just a moment the oil as it represents, you know, the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit comes upon him. And then ultimately we know the cross as the Lamb of God, as the perfect sacrifice. And he says, John says in verse 30, this is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me. Now, and he was before me, he also makes note, which means he is eternal, speaking of Jesus. And it's interesting that John is making the statement, and John's very clear that this is his younger cousin by at least 6 months. He understands, this is his younger cousin, 6 months. Now, he says in this next one that I find interesting, he says it in both verse 31 and verse 33, he says, I did not know him. And this idea of, I did not know that this was exactly who he was all along. And I think there's something, just roll this around in your bin for a little bit and think about it. But the thought is, think about this, that he did not know him. In other words, growing up, you know, Jesus, sure, I'm sure there were some things that were kind of unique about him. No doubt, there would have to be. But he was just a regular enough guy to be a regular guy, regular young person growing up, a regular, you know, just enough about him just to be just fully God and fully man. He says, you know, I didn't really know that. He's my cousin and stuff. I know he's a really cool guy and all. So I didn't really know exactly that this is what exactly it was going to play out like. I knew what I was supposed to do and what I was looking for. Because notice as he goes on and says, he says, I did not know him in verse 31, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. God put it on John's heart. He goes, I wasn't sure exactly how this all was going to go down. I knew that the Messiah was going to be revealed. I knew that I was supposed to go baptizing with water. And John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. That baptism, and then you remember some of the other gospel accounts. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, as the voice thunders from the heavens. You know, so you've got the Father, you got the triune Godhead right there. You've got the Father speaking forth about the Son as the Spirit is descending upon him, as Jesus is right there. So all three are there in this time at the creek there at the Jordan baptizing, so, or just beyond. And so John says, I saw the Spirit descending upon him like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know, again he says, I did not know, in other words, I didn't really, except for this, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, is the Spirit, is the Father, as God sends him, says, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. I find it fascinating that Jesus went to be baptized. I find that, and I understand this concept of identification with you and me as fully God and fully man. But then the fact that the Spirit comes upon him. Now, prior to this, there is nothing really miraculous done by Jesus. There's nothing really, you know, he's 30 years old. And there's been nothing real radical that's gone on in that sense. As a matter of fact, it's been very quiet from the time he was maybe in his early teens at best. It's been kind of dormant a little bit. We haven't heard much. We don't know much. I think he's just a regular young guy growing up, basically. How could he be regular? You know what I'm sure you can grab what I'm saying. You know, how could Jesus ever be that exactly? But, you know, he didn't walk around with a, you know, identification badge that, you know, he's got his thing and says, yeah, Messiah. I mean, you know, it didn't do that, right? So we know we're clear on that. But John says, you know, I had a couple of these, you know, landmarks that I was supposed to look for. I know he's coming. I was supposed to go. Think of the faith of John the Baptist. You know, just going to go out, start baptizing. What are you doing? Well, you know, who are you? Well, this is what I know. This is what I know that I'm supposed to do. How do you know? How presumptuous of you to think that you will zip it and not speak to that person when God puts something on your heart to share with them from the Lord Jesus Christ. How presumptuous of you or of me to think that, no, I'm just not going to say that. I might embarrass myself. Oh, gosh, God forbid that. As you spill your coffee all over your nice clean shirt, you know. I mean, things happen. You know, we embarrass ourselves just by waking up in the morning. At least most of us do. You know, so that's not an issue, really. The issue is our own pride and foolishness. And we think that we're so, you know, directly connected that we're going to know more than God. Man, if God speaks something to your heart, just say it. Trust the Lord by faith. Look at, you don't know who you might be sharing the Lord with. I look at John the Baptist. Look at, he did what God told him to do, even though it seemed kind of lame. Even though everybody's like, what's this guy doing out here, you know? And there's all this inquiry and stuff, but he knew who he was, he knew who he had heard from, and he was following the path that God had set before him. And I think that's a good challenge for each and every one of us. And then I really like that Jesus, really, being fully God and fully man, displayed for us our need also for the Holy Spirit to come upon us, to empower us. Because from this point forward, we start to see God doing some pretty radical things through his son Jesus as the Spirit comes upon him. Pretty interesting. Something to contemplate, something to work through. We're going to take just a moment and spend flipping over to John chapter 14 just for just a minute, because I think it's helpful in an understanding of some very basic things regarding the work and person of the Holy Spirit today. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus said. Now, if you have a red letter edition, then you'll notice this is Jesus speaking. And I will pray, Jesus continues, the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is only given. The Holy Spirit is only given. Again, seriously, note it. The Holy Spirit is only given to those who are his followers. Those who are followers of Jesus Christ. That's who the Spirit is given. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. You and I have something very special within us as born-again believers. Notice this as we go along. It says, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but, he says, you know him. You know who he is. For he dwells with you. And so this is the first preposition here of a Greek word, this idea, dwells with you. And it's para, which is alongside. He dwells with, he comes alongside. And one of the work of the Spirit is to come alongside you and to woo you, to draw you into a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit comes alongside you and starts to pull you in and starts to point to you. And no matter where you go, no matter what happens, it's like the hounds of heaven and they're after you. No matter what goes on, no matter where you travel, all of a sudden you run into Christians. And the Holy Spirit's using them. And there, God's just speaking to your heart. And you get stuck all the way on your flight, all the way from LAX to Tokyo, nonstop, 12 hours. And you got to sit next to some Christian guy that's going to share the gospel with you over and over again. This is what happens to you. This is what goes on, because the Lord loves people. And he sends his Spirit to para, come alongside, for he dwells with you. And then it says, and he will be in you. So not only does he come alongside you and me, but he also is within us. And that is the en or in, but it's en in the Greek. And it means an indwelling. So when you give your life to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes inside you, makes your heart his home. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks again for listening to the Bible study today, and I trust that God is speaking to your heart. Oftentimes when we hear God's word, it kind of pricks our hearts and there's a desire to respond, and I want to give you that opportunity to respond to God today by giving your life to Jesus if you've never given your life to Jesus. And if you want that free gift of salvation, everlasting life, it's yours. All you have to do is pray a simple prayer of faith. And maybe you just need to get right with God. Maybe you've walked with God at some point in your life, but you're just not walking with him today and want to get right with him. This is an opportunity for you. You know, many make fun of Jesus' second coming, that they're wondering, hey, is Jesus ever going to come back? And they make fun of it, kind of asking, where's the promise of his coming? You know, trying to act like God's forgotten about us. Well, God's not forgotten about you, me, or this world. But the real reality is the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, that's God's heart, is that we would get to that place of repentance. That means to turn away from something and to begin to follow something else, turning away from our sin and our sinful thoughts and our sinful actions in our lives that are so destructive, and then willingly follow him. That's his desire, that we wouldn't perish, but that we'd have everlasting life. If you'd pray a simple prayer of faith with me right now, right where you are, right whatever's going on in your life, if you just take this brief moment from your heart to pray this prayer and just ask Jesus, Jesus, I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, and I want to ask that you would be my personal Lord and Savior.
that you'd come into my heart, make my heart your home, and that I would begin this new life, this new journey with you, Jesus. I thank you so much for loving me, and I thank you for forgiving me. I give my life to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus Christ.